This Dude Lectures episode features bold entrepreneur and one of the most influential women in technology, Shira Lazar, recorded live at the global event in California, USA in 2011.
I was gonna say I'm holding on to my youth, not for that long. Can't rely on your youth. This is gonna be a dichotomy from our last speaker, because I feel, but inner listening is a lot of part of what I do when I interview people. But I live in such a fast-paced world, so listening to that, I almost was like, why am I here talking? I just need to be here to listen, right? And actually, you took advice from a monk. And actually, my advice I got today was actually from astrology.com, who said, and this is so true, and it was so ironic, you need to chill out. Nobody wants a lecture today. And if you try to tell people how you think they ought to act, you're sure just to build resistance in them. Live and let live for now. And that was what came in my email inbox after midnight today, as I was trying to figure out what my talk was. And you know, talks are supposed to distill wisdom. And I'm kind of going through a time right now where I need wisdom. And my journey has no end, beginning, middle, ending right now. I'm still very much at the beginning. So I hope to, you know, share a bit of my story and, of course, to connect, inspire, and be inspired here at Do. One of my favorite quotes is, spend less of your time being interesting and more of your time being interested in people and the world. And I've always really been curious about people and possibilities. And it's led me to do what I love doing. For some of you who don't know me from Duke's little introduction, I have a live show called What's Trending. It's a weekly live interactive talk show for the digital age where we talk about the stories that are the new water cooler online. And we also oversee a 24/7 blog. And I also have a show called Partners Project, which is like the Inside the Actor Studio for YouTube stars. And I'll get more into that later. And I would love to show a video, but we don't have connection here. So go to partnersproject.com to check it out. And, you know, telling their stories and bringing them a bigger platform to connect with people and bring other people access to their stories has really been a passion of mine. And I like to say that being on air or when the cameras are rolling is really my zen moment. And that sounds so crazy because a lot of people might think, oh, you have someone in your ear, you're like throwing to one thing, you're listening to this. How is that zen? But for me, it's that one moment where nothing else is going on. It's that moment when it's not about my past or my future. When the camera rolls, the only time for me is now. I can't answer emails. There's no calls. There's no tweets. I have a social media correspondent for that. But the key is what we call content and what makes it shareable is really simple. And that's what I'm really interested in when I think about connecting with people with media and video. I think about how can we really make an impact? And how do you create movements? And so the main thing is creating emotion. And as Walter Cronkite said, it's simple. Three words. Tell a story. So you don't need to have a show to do that, of course, as we all know. It comes from what we do every day. A phone call, our tweets, Google Plus updates, and now Facebook's never-ending timeline. Is it oversharing, though? Perhaps it is, but it's also a transparent look at how we're all just figuring it out and figuring out our place in this world. And a lot of what needs to happen is that silence that we don't have right now. And that requires shutting down. But I live in a world that there's a lot of going on, and how can I use that and take advantage of that to move beyond it and empower myself and those around me? Well, in the past, I would have had to rely on working my way, you know, going to local stations and working at affiliates and covering murders to become a broadcaster. I found opportunities on the web. I worked my way up the web. Instead of people solving my problems or wanting to, of giving me the work, I would solve people's problems and making their content more accessible and come to life. So basically, I was given an opportunity to start interviewing people on the red carpet. And I started meeting at the time all these websites. This is like 5, 6 years ago. And this is when QuickTime videos, we didn't even have our iPhone. YouTube was barely around. And I worked for everyone from Yahoo.com to Hollywood.com to Verizon, VCAS. But the interesting thing is everyone wanted edgy content, and they still do. Everyone wanted, you know, what's that thing? How can we get that hit? But what I thought was it was those moments that you never got on camera that were the best. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great to show people behind the scenes instantaneously? And this is before you could live stream on your iPhone. This is like 5, 6 years ago, which in internet years is a long, long time ago. So I researched online and I found the Nokia N95. I'm not sponsored by them, but shout out to Nokia. And it was the only phone that you could literally upload this video instantaneously to the web. And so in between my gigs, and I said to myself, why do I need, I love doing this. I love interviewing people. I love being on air. Why do I need to wait for someone to tell me that I can do it? Why not just do it? The tools are there. So I remember there was this moment that was a light bulb for me. I was driving, and at the time it was the writer strike in Los Angeles. And I had my phone on me, and a bunch of the writers were out there, and I go, I'm gonna cover this. I'm gonna do it for myself. I'm interested in it. No one's telling me to cover, I'm not getting paid. And I went in, early 20-something, with my phone, and I bumped into the comedian Norm Macdonald. And he goes, I started asking him questions, and he goes, what is this, just your phone? You're recording this on your phone? And I go, yeah. He goes, where is it going to? I go, my website? He's like, oh, okay. And it was amazing because I uploaded it within 5 minutes, and people knew that where I was at that moment, and there was something really special to that, and I started doing that consistently. And people started reacting more to those videos on the go than my highly produced stuff, and you know, at the time, I might be on Fox News Channel or Court TV and all these kind of TV networks talking and blabbing, but what people connected with were these videos, which actually showed something more real. Not just more real in terms of who I am, but more of the humanity in terms of what I was capturing, because it was unedited, it was raw. And there was something about the way people connect when you don't have a crew. When you just have, you know, a phone or a little camera, you get something very special and magical that it's unlike anything else. So it really made me realize the power in the person, the individual, when you have the tools to do what you want and when you want to do it. So it was really important at that point to empower myself that I could pursue my passions without someone giving me their okay. And that was so crucial. And as entrepreneurs, and a lot of you are here, you might naturally think that way, but I really think there should be a class in school on the power of you, because that is so powerful. And a lot of our willingness to think outside of the box and thrive in this fast-paced, ever-changing economic, technological landscape, even when we've fallen down, for me, is curiosity, sincere curiosity. Albert Einstein has said, "It is a miracle that curiosity survives formal education." So like most things in life, there is a way of doing things, as we all know. We go to college, you know, in my case, I studied communications, I would graduate, get a job. But the very important lesson to be learned here is that it's not about that, of course. The important lesson to learn is that don't let that get in the way of doing things interfere with your curiosity. Sometimes you need to discover, obviously, your own path, and that's how you truly thrive. Some of you might not know that Steve Jobs actually studied calligraphy in school. It's true. He's actually said, "Much of what I stumbled into by following my curiosity and intuition turned out to be priceless later on." He didn't, you know, it wasn't the means to an end. He studied it because he was curious about living in life and making money, no. but calligraphy ended up coming into his work afterwards. In terms of the typography, we all know to be so iconic for Apple. Also, what I've learned is the power of a question through my work. There's an inherent connection between asking questions and trust built when you sit down with someone and obviously truly listen. How are you? What do you think about this? What do you do? Why do you feel that way? Not just asking it to ask, but having a sincere curiosity that people can see in your eyes, in your face, in your body language, that you care. You care about them. You care to be in that moment. I believe that when there's true care and curiosity behind questions, people are willing to open up and relationships can truly flourish. Ideas can evolve. Anything is possible. The simple step of asking a question, be it between a husband and a wife, or the Palestinians and the Israelis, is the first step between establishing a connection with one another. One more benefit of curiosity, some of you might not know this, but Dalai Lama actually takes interview requests. He doesn't do it by mail. That would be too archaic, of course. He does it over email. And it could take you 3 months to get a meeting. And after all that waiting, if he feels whoever he's meeting with isn't genuinely sincere in their curiosity to him, no matter who they are, he will dismiss them. And he'll do it very quickly. And it could be why there aren't any pictures of George W. Bush and Dalai Lama together. But curiosity is actually backed by science. There are studies that show that the act of being curious actually activates certain parts of our brain that stimulates long-term memory, reward, and dopamine, which ultimately makes us happy. So could being curious lead us to a new job or life? Would that make us better people or better at what we do? What if we all led our lives with sincere curiosity? And I want to put that out there for all of you as you continue on in your day-to-day life that is fast-paced. What if you stopped, listened, and said, I want to be interested right now and just not think about being interesting. Right now, one of the movements that I'm very curious about and that I'm intrigued and inspires me is the YouTube movement. A lot of you might know YouTube for babies and cat videos that go viral. And you could say, you know, we're intrigued by those and they get millions of views because they have this amazing, cute, and sincere curiosity expressed for the world, babies and cats. They're innocent, sincere. But that aside, there is actually a group of people, of incredible people, that are building their entire careers on YouTube. The economics of it aside, the fact that there's an ad share and all that stuff, there's something more to it. They're actually building an audience. They're owning their audience. They're owning their platform. Not just recreating business models, but an entire do-it-yourself revolution and a lifestyle. And so how did I get into this whole YouTube thing, you might ask, besides sharing videos all the time, which a lot of us do? Well, when I was working with CBSNews.com covering digital culture and internet trends, I started noticing these, you know, these people that go viral like Double Rainbow or Antoine Dodson. And I ended up becoming the first to interview these people. I was fascinated when I would see a video going viral of, you know, why it did. What was the story behind these people that you just see and we all laugh at and they become memes and they become part of our popular culture. But who are these people? You know, how did they react when suddenly their life is just put out there and their persona? And so I interviewed these people, and then I attended something called VidCon, which is like the Comic-Con for YouTube stars. A lot of you might not know that this even exists, but I assure you that in the next 2 years you will, because it went from 2 years ago from 1,000 people to 3,000 this year, and next year it's at the Anaheim Convention Center. So this is growing. It's a community that's growing and that's thriving. And some of these people, yeah, are teens. Some of them are not. Some of these people that create these videos have families, support their kids. But it was crazy to see the lineups of their fans. It was like these were the new Beatles. And I go, oh my God, you know, if only networks, if only people could see what's going on right now. We're in the middle of a media revolution with these people. And we saw it even recently, Comscore, which is the measurement of views on air, but also obviously to help the flow of ad dollars, they found that the top 10 YouTube channels had a bigger audience than the top 10 cable networks today. Do you know how powerful that is? These people are doing it on their own, inspiring massive audiences. Now, to me, that is so powerful and that is so inspiring. So I began interviewing them all. I wanted to archive a part of history because a lot of people, you know, were talking about how much these people were making and the concept of YouTube stars, but no one was really telling their stories. Who are these people? How are they literally living off creating these videos and getting millions of views? So I met Shay Carl, who is from Ohio, was an average Joe, you know, taking any job he could get, has four kids, and decided to just start shooting himself. And he literally created the modern day reality show called Shaytards on YouTube, where every single day he uploads a video with him and his family, and he's made a career of it. Then we also have someone like Phil DeFranco, who's an early 20-something, who in 3 days got over 300,000 subscribers on YouTube after just starting a channel. There's Mystery Guitar Man. These are all their names. This guy, Joe, who came from Boston to LA, was living on his friend's floor using food stamps. And in just 2 years later, and over a million subscribers, he's built out his own studio. He skipped the traditional route to do it on his own. Then another story, Brandon and Freddie Wong. They're like the Jackie Chan of YouTube. And they literally started their own YouTube channel in a year. They've proven the quality of their work without dealing with the studio system. They built a loyal audience and recently raised $75,000 in less than 24 hours on Kickstarter.com for one of their ideas. Now, what's incredible when you hear these stories is you realize the power shift is in you. They own their audiences and have empowered themselves with the tools they have today. They don't wait, they just do. While I do believe this is history in the making, and we are archiving it on the Show Partners Project, these new leaders continue to bring up important themes that are part of the power of curiosity, letting go, and ultimately owning your potential. So one of the things that comes up a lot when I interview these individuals is letting go of fear. This girl, Jenna Marbles, that's her YouTube name. She came from Boston. She had a master's degree. Couldn't find a job like so many students out there these days and young people who are in debt from all the loans. She decided to start putting up videos on YouTube and saw that people were listening and watching. And so she said, okay, could this be a real job? She had to let go of that fear of the unknown and just jump right into it. Because, you know, growing up in Boston, her friends, you know, were dentists or doctors, and there's a perceived path that we all think we need to take. But when you get over that fear to jump outside that path, really anything is possible. When you let go of the what ifs, anything is possible. A lot of these people, you know, a lot of their advice is just do. So many of us wait around for the right ideas, the name, the inspiration. I always say, don't wait for inspiration. Just do, and inspiration will find you. Be strategic, but be open and willing to experiment. It's not about being right and perfect. And what a lot of these YouTubers show, compared to the traditional model, is it's about experimentation and just putting yourself out there and seeing what works. And from there, you can end up succeeding from falling down and failure because you just make it work. And I think traditionally in any sort of company, as you know, you need to have a plan and everything needs to be so certain. And I really think in the end that sets all of us up for failure. Be consistent, collaborate, and contribute. So a lot of these people have been doing this since 2006, 2007, surprisingly. And some of them, like Jenna, started in 2011. In less than a year, she's basically making her whole career based on YouTube. Now, hard work and consistency allowed her to build an audience, make the web like her Cheers, basically. I've always compared it to the internet like Cheers. You need to stick around. You need to be around to show people that you care, that you have respect. It's not just about putting content out there and links out there. People need to know that there's an authentic person behind that and that they care and they're here for the long haul. And that's where I've seen the most success. Now, the 10,000 hour rule, which a lot of us talk about, has actually been sped up this day and age because of all these tools we have at our disposal. So you can practice more than ever before to master your craft without waiting for anyone to allow you to do so. Knowing your voice and who you are, literally and figuratively, my voice. I actually go to vocal awareness. Arthur Joseph, who's a vocal awareness coach, and he teaches you how to own your voice like any athlete. When you're speaking, you're connecting. And that can change everything, the way you communicate with people. So work on that. Work on not just your voice and how it sounds and resonates, but your voice and who you are. Own who you are. Embrace who you are. Because your audience will find you and you will find your audience. And that magical connection is what really gives people that raison d'être that I think we're all trying to find no matter what industry that we're in. It's really that sense of community and contribution that has scientifically been proven to contribute to happiness. And as we know, it's not just about what we do, but why. It's what makes two people stand out in this world, that two people that do exactly the same thing, what makes one person connect and thrive, and the other person doing the exact same thing, they just don't. It doesn't resonate with people. And I do believe it's the spirit and the soul that you put into the work, the care, the why. And that's the golden nugget. Another thing is passion, play, and fun. Beyond all, you know, the seriousness and the hard work that needs to come into play here, you need to remember to have fun and play. A lot of these people are characters. They don't take themselves too seriously. And I think that is so important in the end. So I'm not just sharing this with all of you because I expect you all to pick up a camera and start being master video bloggers at the end of today or quit your jobs to start a career on YouTube. Not everyone should obviously be doing this, but hopefully it will inspire all of you to embrace all that you can be in this lifetime. Be curious, ask questions, and realize the power of you. We are all storytellers in our own right, whether we're on camera or doing a pitch for a project or creating the next big innovative thing that will change the world. Storytelling is so important no matter what we do. There's a music aficionado, Bob Lefsetz, who has a really great newsletter. And in his last one, he talked about the power of creativity. And he said something that I felt was really powerful. He said, so you've got to be three-dimensional. If this means it takes you longer to put in your 10,000 hours, so be it. It's not a race. If you're not taking time to soak up the sun, you're not going to have anything to say. Great songs are about creativity. The more you write, the better you get. But you're mining your life, your experience. And if you've got none, no one's going to be interested. And I felt that was really powerful because we all try to be the best we can be and just go day to day and deliver. But I think we have to move out of ourselves. And even if we make mistakes, that's part of our story and we need to embrace that. So another great thing I'll end this on is it's only really when we're free, when we free ourselves of those self-imposed boundaries, when we listen to our hearts and give wing to our natural curiosity that we can truly see and tap the breadth of opportunity available to us all. And that's a powerful thing. And also have fun while you're at it. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.